Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever and wherever you might be listening. My name is Frank Duncan, and you're listening to the Backfield Banter Podcast. Thanks for joining us, and we got a good episode today. We're going to be talking to Mr. Joey Wentz, former first-round draft pick out of the Kansas City area, I believe Shawnee Mission East. And we're going to talk to him about his baseball career and things that he might want to impart onto our listeners. So without any further ado, we'll get going. Quick introduction of all the guys who are here today, and we'll start asking some questions.
All right. Thanks, Frank. It's myself, Zach McLeod. We got Bob Zimmerman, Daniel Harper, Joey Wentz, and then Will Stevens is doing all the producing and kind of all the back-end stuff on the pod, which is greatly appreciated. Kind of what's going on in Premier's building right now. I'll give this part to Bob, and he can kind of talk about the throwing program, what's going on, and all that.
So, yeah, we've got our winter pitching program for the high school athletes. That's running 5 days a week and plus the on Saturdays. We've also started to get all our college athletes back in the midday, as well as all our professional guys in the morning. With the high school athletes, just really trying to have a comprehensive build to lead them into their season or get them ready for any events they're doing, trying to maximize their movement efficiency, maximize their delivery, and then really with an injury prevention focus. And so we're just full steam ahead on that, getting all those guys ready.
On the strength and conditioning side at Top Flight, we've obviously got our normal hours from 3 to 8. We've got some holiday hours that we put up on social media, coming up with Thanksgiving and Christmas. And then also going with that, we have our college hitting program that myself and Trevor will be leading up that we started this past summer. So excited for that. Kind of matches along with Bob's throwing program, just helping guys move better. And really the focus for that month is just getting guys ready to go for their college season. They're going to get back and have anywhere from 3 weeks to 5 weeks, and they start playing games, so just keeping them ready to roll over the holidays. Other than that, I think we can get on to our interview with Joey. So Joey, really, all of our paths have kind of intersected at Premier. We talked last time about how, you know, where Bob started this, why he started it. So I guess to open it up, like, what brought you here? How'd you hear about Bob and Premier? Was it, you know, somebody that you trained with before? Was it guys that had already been training with him? And we'll kind of leave that out to you now.
Yeah. First of all, thanks for having me on. It's cool to do a podcast. Never done one before.
First time.
First time.
Welcome, Joey.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, I mean, kind of, I met Bob the fall, kind of before my senior year started. Prior to that, had done some throwing stuff, but was playing basketball, was playing baseball, and you know, before I started training with Bob, it wasn't anything too crazy in depth as far as moving or anything like that. And I also probably didn't have aspirations at the time where I thought I was going to potentially get drafted out of high school, which I ended up doing. But I was committed to go play in college and was mostly just playing summer baseball and some fall stuff and playing basketball pretty much year-round. So I got introduced to Bob, started working at what was, I think, two buildings ago for maybe like 3 or 4 weeks before getting in the old building. And I guess there was probably, I think there was like 8 of us that got drafted that year, but like, I guess I'll call it the inaugural pitching program that he had in Kansas City. And that was really the first time like I really kind of went all in on pitching. To his credit, to everyone's credit that at the time was working with us, like I just got a lot better and pretty quickly. And so by the time it was the season, was really in a good position to go pitch, and my stuff ticked up a lot, and you know, I was fortunate, like I was able to throw all my bullpens my senior year with Bob, you know, instead of doing them at practice or doing them wherever. So yeah, it was like I gave a lot of credit always in my career to Bob and Premier, and really just being a place where kind of any level of arm can come in and set your sights, and you have you know, as long as you put forth the effort, you have everything you need to get better.
So a couple questions I have. I think getting into youth sports, you know, one area that people kind of struggle with is like, hey, when should I specialize? Like, obviously you said you're a multi-sport athlete in high school. I know that we talk about KU basketball all the time in the mornings when we're working out. And so how do you feel like that helped you? When did you feel like it was time to kind of specialize for that? Because obviously there is a time and place for that. And Bob, maybe you can kind of weigh in that as well. But just with some scouting type stuff, I mean, a lot of high school athletes that get drafted, it was well over 90%, if I remember right, are multi-sport athletes. So how do you feel like that played a part kind of in your athletic career? How did that help you on the mound? And when did you decide to make that decision just to be, you know, baseball only? And what kind of led you to that?
Yeah, so I think it's important to do, you know, multiple things. Like, I played a lot of basketball, and I guess I might be in the minority. Like, I wish I stopped playing basketball earlier than I did. I stopped playing in the middle of my junior year, so I did have, like, a full off season where my junior year where I wasn't, you know, doing multiple things. But early on, I think it's important, like, especially in Kansas City, like, we just don't have the weather to be able to play baseball here, which I think is probably a good thing for most kids. So my senior year was really the first year where I was, like, all in on baseball and was going to go to college and play. And you know, I don't know. I think it's different for everybody on when they want to stop and just, you know, think about one thing. I think with kids now, like, when I see the high school kids in here, like, they're monsters. They move well. Like, aside from Riley, like, most of them throw harder than all of us did in high school. Most of them do things quite a bit differently. So it's fun to watch. But I think there are other things, too, like, you benefit, like, high school basketball, like, you see more of a crowd than high school baseball, so just getting acclimated to maybe, same thing with football, like, playing in front of people, maybe being in some pressurized situations, maybe being coached hard. I think it's a pretty fine line in baseball, like, how can you be stern, how can you be a coach, but also, you know, some players, you know, everyone's different to what they can handle. So from that aspect, I think it's important that, you know, I think kids nowadays are so much more focused on one thing that I think there would be benefits to that. But I do think there are also benefits of if you're good at something and you truly want to pursue it, going all in, not when you're 10 or not when you're 12. But, you know, if you're 16 and, you know, you think you can be a phenomenal player and that's what you love to do, I see no issue with really going all in on it.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think in this day and age that it's almost it's tough because I feel like you can be put at a disadvantage if you don't specialize early enough, and it's tough. So you have to figure out really the balance between making sure you're just a good athlete in general by doing multiple sports, and you also have to compete with guys who are only playing baseball from the age of like 13 through high school. You know, those guys are going to be far advanced if you're not spending the same amount of time on baseball. So Bob, what are your thoughts on that? And as far as like when we get athletes in here, how do you kind of push them to continue to get better at baseball, but also make sure they're just a well-rounded athlete?
Yeah, you know, I like the guys playing multi-sports. There is a time where if you're on a college scholarship and your senior year, yeah, maybe you should make the business decision that like, all right, I'm going to put the focus in on the one sport, make sure I'm getting and maximizing my output on that, and then also taking away any outside injury risk as well. But besides that, for, you know, 99% of the guys, I think playing multi-sports is very beneficial. I think it helps with the overall athleticism so that when you do try to do something specific for pitchers, like, you have better body awareness when you do that. You're able to react or create that reactive force easier. And it just allows you to, like, take a lot of the things we try to do at higher levels and have the base set up for it. So I really think doing multi-sports is beneficial for kids. And, like, when you're talking 10, 12-year-olds, like, their arms need breaks. Like, we need to repair tissue. Like, we need to let the arm regain some of its internal rotation. Like, there's certain things that, yeah, go play basketball because you're not going to be putting the stress and the wear and tear on the shoulder for 12 months. Let's let it naturally heal without having to, you know, find something to supplement it with.
Yeah, you know, and I think the biggest thing, too, whenever you're playing those multi sports, Joey, I'm sure, you know, you can attest to this, but, like, it's really just competition. Like, you're learning how to compete at different things with different rules, having your body do different things. Like, I know you said that you played AAU growing up, and obviously, like, you know, playing basketball and just figuring out how to be successful in something else can carry over to your baseball career. Do you feel like that helped you in any way, like, as you've progressed in your career?
Yeah, I think I can look back and, like, do I think it helps me as a professional? Absolutely not. Do I think it helped me as a high school player and, you know, playing like travel ball circuit? For sure. Especially just from a competitive standpoint, like you said, and conditioning, body awareness, stuff that Bob already mentioned. But I think what you gain from it, more so for me, was, like I said earlier, like playing in front of a crowd, people giving it to you, maybe not being as good at that one sport as you are baseball, to where you kind of learn, not underdog mentality, but kind of how to compete, how to you know, figure out different ways to be on the level, but still be good at it. So I think that for me was probably the biggest, you know, gain I got from, you know, playing other sports.
Yeah, and from, like, a recruiting standpoint, especially when I was at the junior college coaching, you know, you get a guy, we recruited Texas pretty heavily, so you get a guy from Texas, and he's, you know, playing football on Friday nights there, and then he's also, you know, playing baseball in the spring. Like, there's, like, a baseline athleticism that you're just checking off. Like, hey, this guy can play the outfield. He's wide receiver and a kick returner on the football team. It's a bigger high school in Texas. Like, those are just boxes that you can kind of check. Like, hey, this guy, you know, he's been doing this. He's been kind of splitting his focus for the last 4 years, but now he's going to focus on this one sport. We're going to get him every day. He's going to practice. Like, he's going to make bigger jumps. Like, that was one thing I really looked for. Like, if I knew a guy was playing 2-3 sports in high school, and then you get him in college, you're like, man, this guy's going to make jumps. He's going to start playing this sport every day. Like, if he's even with these other guys that we're recruiting in his class, like, there's a high chance he's going to jump up just because now he's completely focused on the one thing. But yeah, I think those are all good. And you said you were drafted out of high school, so obviously you didn't pursue your college career, but you were being recruited. So can you kind of talk about what that was like? When did that start? You know, what coaches and colleges you kind of, like, narrow that down to, and why?
Yeah, I was signed to go play at the University of Virginia. And I kind of, they weren't the first school to recruit me, but when they started recruiting me, I was, you know, pretty dialed into them. The overall process probably started when I was 15 or 16, and still at that time, I was kind of naive to what was going on. Like, I was a pretty good baseball player, but I was devoting time to it, but not like a crazy amount of time. It was more than a seasonal thing, but it was far from a 12-month thing. It was, you know, like I said, still playing basketball. And then once it kind of started, I kind of quickly realized, like, I'm going to be a way better baseball player than a basketball player. And my older brother played basketball, so I was pretty influenced by him. And, to be honest, I didn't love college recruiting. I didn't love taking the visits. I didn't love getting on the phone calls, which might sound ignorant, or, you know, it just wasn't my favorite thing to do. But when I visited UVA, I loved it. My parents loved it. And so I made the decision to commit there and sign there. There were some other schools I was looking at, but for me, like, they had got second in the national championship and they won it. So I was going to go try to be a two-way player there, which they'd had multiple guys on their roster that pitched and hit. So that was probably the biggest reason why I ended up signing there. Obviously a really good school. But once I got into my senior year, I did a couple of showcases, like, leading into the year, and probably by mid-April I thought I was good enough to where I was going to potentially be able to sign and, like, me, my parents, Bob, I think, you know, my high school coach, we all kind of realized that, and that's kind of where my mental headspace was, and was really just trying to take the ball, you know. High school, you only pitch once a week, which is kind of crazy to think about now, but take the ball, do as well as I could, give myself a chance to ultimately sign, because that's what I wanted to do, and you know, that's what, you know, ended up making the decision to turn professional, and happy that I did it that way.
Yeah.
Do you have any regrets about that?
No, I have no regrets about that. I think, like, it's hard to look back because I was drafted 9 years ago, which is crazy to think about, but the process now is so different. Like, the draft back then was 40 rounds. Now it's 20. There's probably a lot more teams that were taking high school arms, taking high school bats. When I look at the draft now, or, you know, if I was in high school now doing the same thing, I don't know if I'd make the same decision, because I don't know if I would be afforded the same opportunity, just because I look at some of the high school players now and here, and it's like, you know, 9 years ago, not that they're not good, but they might have stuck out a little bit more. And obviously college, you got the portal now. No regrets. I mean, I think that my year, I was drafted by the Braves in 2016, and their first, like, the first four out of five picks were all high schoolers. The year before, in 15, they drafted three high school picks with their first three picks. So I was really put into a situation where I was drafted by a team where I was surrounded by a lot of people that were, you know, similar age, similar situations, you know, trying to make the climb in the minors, which I think, you know, would be easier as a high school kid than getting drafted by a team and, you know, they draft a high school kid and they spend the rest of their picks on college kids. So when you get in, you're the youngest one, you probably have the least amount of high level experience, just because obviously when you take a kid out of the SEC or ACC or really any college level, JUCO, they've probably played better baseball than, you know, Kansas high school baseball.
Yeah. And so, Bob, like, during this process, obviously, you know, I'm sure you're involved. Like, I know you talk to scouts regularly and all that. So, like, when you got Joey, it sounds like it was your junior year going into your senior year.
It was probably August of my senior year.
Yeah.
Like, tail end of summer.
So, did you know right away, like, this guy's got a good chance to be a high, you know, high school draft pick? Or was it more of like, man, he's got a lot of potential, and then it just kind of took off? Like, how did that process kind of go?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of both. Like, you know, after the first time I saw him throw, you watch the stuff, and you're like, oh, that stuff's for real. And then, like, getting to know Joe as a person and how he goes about things, and you were mature beyond your years as far as you process Joe. Like, I don't see that from time these days. Like, he took it so seriously, like, from his, you know, sleep to his bullpens to his games, like, everything was regimented, and it was, I feel like, and I could be wrong on this, but I feel like none of your decisions were, like, emotional decisions. Like, everything was, like, thought about, like, planned, and, like, after kind of seeing his process and how he did things, that's when I was like, yeah, this guy's got a real, real shot. And it was funny. We had a lot of, with Joe and Riley and a couple of the other guys that got drafted pretty good that year, we had a lot of, you know, cross-checkers, assistant GMs, GMs in the building to just watch them, like, work out or throw. I forget if it was the Reds or the Padres, but one of the scouting directors was in, and Riley threw, and then Joe was about to throw, and he's like, hey, when's Wentz going to hit? And I was like, oh, we're not having him hit today. And he's like, wait, what are you gonna have him do? And I'm have him throw a pen for you. And he's like, oh, wait, what? We don't have him as a pitcher. And I was like, hey, you might want to watch it for a second. Joe threw like his first two bullets, and the guy's like, shit, like, what are we doing?
What kind of hitter were you, Joe? I had no idea I'm a hitting guy, so I'm curious now.
I was a 5 o'clock hitter, probably. I could hit fair BP. No, and I will say, like, our year, like, Riley, who's, you know, one of my really good friends, like, he was so heavily thought of, so heavily talked about nationally that, like, a lot of us just initially, you know, by the end of the season, I was getting my own attention, but, like, early on, there were so many, like, he was the guy, really, for our high school class that, like, a lot of us just benefited from, kind of having someone to chase after, like, and you knew he was, like, you knew his stuff was real stuff. He played his summer, like, circuit. He was the guy.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was like, you know, if that's a first round talent, first round arm, like, how can I kind of chase after that? And obviously, like, I still don't, like, I don't throw as hard as Riley. Some of the stuff he can do is probably stuff that not a lot of arms can do ever. But as, you know, a competitor, as someone that trained with him, threw with him, like, it was good for me to kind of have that be, like, the benchmark of, you know, he's going to get picked really, really high. So if I can, you know, relate or do some of the stuff as good as him, like, I should have a pretty good chance. Obviously, I'm left-handed, so that's a little different. But he was a guy for all of us that initially brought in a lot of people to watch us throw. And I kind of was able to be in that class, but, like, it was crazy. Like, the first week we all threw, there was every team represented, people, and not just, you know, your area scouts or people like that, but people that really made pretty big decisions. So yeah, it was really cool to be a part of that. And he was just a good benchmark for all of us, like, in the off season going into it, like, if this is, you know, what it looks like right now for where we are, how can we kind of level up our own game and get somewhere in the same kind of area as him?
Yeah, I've heard, you're a KU fan, but I heard Joel Embiid kind of talk about that when he signed at KU. He said that every scout in the NBA, obviously, was all the practices watching Andrew Wiggins. He's number one recruit. Frank, you know about that, Golden State guy now. But he said that he really appreciated Andrew Wiggins being there, because it gave him the opportunity to, like, show what he had. And he said that Andrew would always do, like, a shooting workout at the end of practice, and all the scouts would be there. And he said he started just doing his own on the other side of the court, because he was like, if all these people are here, I need to utilize it. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's something that, you know, people don't realize, like, in that scouting world, like, hey, I'm there to see, you know, Riley Pine or Joey Wentz. And then, you know, some sophomore in high school comes out and he's like 88, 89 with the slider. Like, that kid gets wrote down. Like, that's how that stuff happens. And so I know a lot of times kids are, like, frustrated, like, oh, I'm not getting, you know, whatever, whatever. But, you know, if you're there and you're pitching in front of a high-level guy or hitting against a high-level guy, like, people are seeing you, and those are all interviews. That's really what that is. But before we kind of start talking about your draft day and your pro career and stuff like that, like, Harper, I know you guys are roughly the same age, right?
Yeah, Joey's a year older.
Year older. So you got to train with, like, Joey and Riley and all that stuff. And what was that culture kind of like? I know that you said there was, like, eight guys drafted your year, Joey, out of the building. So, you know, Harp, I know you're kind of more of a late bloomer, I guess. You're a five-year college guy, get drafted in the 17th round. Now you're throwing almost 100 miles an hour in double A. So, like, what was that kind of like, what Joey was saying, like, being able to see where they were in front of those scouts and being able to, like, kind of push for that?
Yeah, for sure. I think I've known Joey for longer than the 10 years I've been with Bob. But just growing up around him, Riley, and all those guys, it was, again, same thing Joey was saying, like, pushing myself to that level and surrounding myself with that excellence. And I really think that's kind of where I got my process from, is I see Joey out there doing his stuff, Riley out there doing his stuff. And it just pushed me to become better. It's like I always stayed, like, for their group to watch them throw, watch them go through their stuff. Bob probably would say I was out there for 10 hours a day, 8 hours a day, just grinding minimum. Away, yeah. Watching them.
Minimum.
Yeah. Minimum. He's not exaggerating here. Yeah.
No.
Would you say he was the first guy to ask for the key on Christmas Day?
I like telling that story of known the kid for 4 months, and he was in a sling at the time.
Yeah, just had TJ.
And, yeah, he's like, hey, are you going to be is the facility going to be open on Christmas? I'm like, no, go home and spend it with your family. And he's like, well, do you care if I get a key so I can come up? And I was like, yeah. Yeah. But that's when I knew, Harper, you had something, bud.
I don't know what I had, but it was something, yeah. Something special.
It was something.
But yeah, it was just, it was awesome with Joey. I mean, yeah. I think we played summer ball together for a year with Carl, or I played up with him. And I think right then I saw, like, Joey had some talent. I was like, I want to be that. And he's always been kind of my guy I looked up to growing up.
So,
yeah.
Fuck yeah, Jessica.
Arp, you're the guy here now, though.
No, I'm not.
The big dog. Far, what do you mean?
Big dog.
Far from it.
So, Joey, obviously you went through the recruiting stuff. You know, you're committed to Virginia. It sounds like you were kind of more set on a pro path than you were at college, which is totally fair. There's a lot of guys that I would say that it's more of a personality trait, I think, for high school kids. Obviously, Bob was talking about how you're mature, like above your years and all that, which is great. And so going that pro path has like really done you well. So can you kind of talk about scouts are starting to talk to you more? You're getting kind of a feel for, you know, hey, we're thinking about taking you in this round, that round. Bob, obviously you were in on these conversations. People ask about yours, you know, pitching guys, so they're kind of picking your brain about it. But kind of talk about that whole drafts process, the story, you know, like how many teams were calling you, who was saying they were going to take you. You kind of already talked about how the Braves did take you in the first round, so how all that kind of went about.
Yeah, I think, like, for me, I still try to stay with it as I'm obviously still playing, but, like, you try really not to think about it, and you just day by day, week by week, and see where you are at the end of the year, which for me is the right mentality, because I think, you know, once you start looking ahead, or you can't pencil in, like, good outing success, I think that would be a mistake. And two, like, in the draft, you're going to get fed bad. Like, you're going to just get fed wrong information. You're going to get fed kind of fluff from kind of all different people. So when the draft came around, like, I really, you know, I really thought I was going to get picked by the Braves from what was said, from what was conveyed to me. They had, I think, my year. They had Ian Anderson got picked, I think, third overall. Then I got picked. And then, I mean, they had a lot of high picks. So it was just, it was a good situation for me to go into. But I still, you know, you don't really try to focus on what could be in 2 months or a month or a week, because all that can change pretty quickly. And I still try to kind of live by that as I'm, you know, I finished up a full season in the big leagues, and baseball is a funny way of, you know, when you think you're going really well, you could have a bad one. Close you are from a really good outing to where you're back, you know, you're back on the right track. So for me, it's more about doing my stuff, trying to do everything I can to be healthy. And it was the same back then. Like, you can't be on the field if you're not healthy, if you're not right. So really just day to day, make sure you're doing your stuff and putting yourself in the best position to take the field and ultimately feel good.
Joey, can you walk us through I just got drafted in the first round. I'm a big fish in a small pond in Kansas City, and now I'm on a plane going to wherever. Like, I don't know if it was short season or just the facility down in Florida or whatever. But, like, walk us through getting off that plane, getting, like, your first kind of experience in the clubhouse and at the facility, and then kind of where you went every year. And I think you were traded too, right? So, like, walk us through kind of that whole experience and what levels you kind of hit along the way, how much time you spent at each level, and then also, like, if you had some favorite places that you kind of been along the way.
I signed, I think the draft was June 9th. I maybe signed a week later and reported to the GCL. I think the GCL season, like, extended spring training was just ending, and there was a couple days off. And then I started in the GCL, pitched. I think I pitched 4 games there, threw like 12 innings, threw the ball really well. Like, I think, too, like, as a pro, like, you got to know you're good. So I thought I was good. So I think when I got down there, obviously, you enter into a situation where, you know, you got a good bonus, you were a high pick. Back then, like I said, there was 40 rounds. So there's 40, you know, maybe not 40 players because I already signed, but over 30 players that are showing up have all been successful at wherever they come from. And, you know, I developed a pretty close friendship with the guys that I was picked with. So we kind of all were in similar spots. But I threw 4 games in the GCL, and then I went up that summer of 2016 to short season. And that was like the first place where, like, I kind of got my shit turned around pretty quickly, and it was a level, it doesn't exist anymore. But at the time, it was a level where, like, a lot of the college players that were drafted that year went. A lot of the guys that were in extended went. So I was playing with older players. I think I was one of the younger guys on the team. We had myself, Ian was my same age. A couple guys from the Dominican that were pretty high prospects, I think at the time they were 17. But other than that, you know, everyone was a college player, and that was really the first level where I didn't struggle. Like, I was just inconsistent to where I would, you know, have a really good game, be poor, be pretty good. I think that was the first time I kind of ran into fatigue where I was like, all right, I think I threw 50-ish innings that summer as a pro, which I think is, it was good. Like, I think now some teams do it a little differently, but I thought for me it was important to go pitch. So when I came back for that off season, I at least knew, like, you know, if I want to be successful at that level, I need to be able to do this and that. And always was able to kind of get decent strikeout numbers, but hard hit, homers, walks, falling behind guys. And that summer, like, there were some pretty good players. Like, Vladdy Jr. was playing at that level, so saw him. Like, saw some guys that ended up in the big leagues being all-star players, huge players. So came back, had that first off season. And then I went down in spring. I went to like an early camp, which was cool, just to kind of be around some of the guys that were in quotations prospects, which I think is important to say, because like now playing in the big leagues, like they just take the best guys. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, it doesn't matter where you were picked 4 years ago. Like, your draft spot might matter for a year or 2 years, but like, if you're not good, you're not good. And that comes to light, like, I think pretty quickly, whether you're not serious about the game. But 2017, spent the whole year in low A, was able to throw, I think I threw like 130 innings, made all my starts, had a really, really good year trying to emulate that year in the major leagues, which is proving difficult. Yeah, went there the whole year. 2018, I kind of basically did a level a year. Like, 2018, I spent the whole time in high A. 2019, going into 2019, it was the first time that I got invited to Major League Spring, which was just an awesome experience to be around guys that were just terrific players, terrific ethic, terrific, you know, process, mindset. And then 2019, went to Double A. I ended up getting traded that July. I think the deadline was like, I think I got traded like the last day of July or like the second to last day, like 30 minutes before the trade deadline ended. Ended up going to Double A with the Tigers, which was in Erie, which is
not a great spot.
not the best spot I played, but that's like, that's just the minor leagues. Like, you end up in places and it's about ball. So
that's a very professional way to put that.
Ended up there. I just pitched the last month of the year there, back when the year would end, like when August was the last month, which is weird now, cause I think now the minor leagues goes a little bit later. But threw the ball well. And then 20 obviously was COVID, but I ended up getting Tommy John, blew my elbow out in spring, which sucked. Was a, probably looking back, like the first time in my career that was like a mental, just a roadblock. It was a bad place to be. It was obviously COVID, so it wasn't easy for anybody in any walk of life. But especially after throwing the ball well towards the end of 2019, going into 2020 with some good momentum, new organization, trying to go in and show yourself well. Ended up blowing out, which I think it's never a good thing, but in hindsight, I guess you learn something about yourself. You kind of learn, you know, I need to improve my body. I need to get stronger. I need to move better. I need to, like, there's obviously some reasons why guys get hurt. So 20 rehabbed, 21 got done with rehab, went back to Erie, threw the ball. Not great, but it's like funny when you get hurt, it's like never about how you throw, it's like how do you feel, which as a player, it's like that sucks, because it should be about the result and about, you know, doing well on the field. But threw the ball fine, like for not pitching for, you know, 14-15 months and doing rehab in different places, and it is important. I did feel good and I did feel healthy, but when I came back after 21, for that off season. Like, I was pretty motivated to be better, and I was on the roster going into 22. Was it 22? No, it wasn't. I was on the roster in 21. Anyways, I was going into spring on the 40-man, and the Tigers were, at the time, like, a lot of really good young arms. Some of the guys you saw this year really do well had made their debut, and like I mentioned earlier with Riley, like, there were people to chase, like, people to try to emulate, people just to watch. And ended up in 22, starting the year in AAA. The pitching coach there, his name's Doug Bockler. He's an awesome individual. Really helped me out with my game, kind of just learning how to pitch at an upper level. I think as you go through the minors, AAA for me was probably the level that I saw where, like, these are professional hitters, guys that have played in the big leagues for some of them for 10 years, some of them for 5 years, some guys that have, you know, had a little bit of time, but thousands of at-bats, really know what they're doing. They're not going to swing at pitches they can't do damage on. So kind of really learning how to pitch to good high-level players, and got off to a pretty good start. Made my debut in May of 22, which I was horrible in, which, you know, I think you make your debut, it's really cool. Like, it's a really cool thing, but went back down to the minors. Like, I just got crushed by the A's. And you really just learn, like, you get back to work, you stay in your process, you stay doing well, and just, you're always trying to get better no matter what level you're at. And I ended up having some shoulder, not a big injury, but I missed about 6 weeks in the middle of that summer. And when I came back, I got in a really good groove. Did my rehab, went back up to AAA for about a month, and then got called up in September. And that was probably the first time I had success in the big leagues, was September of 22. Put together some really solid innings and solid starts, and did pretty well. And then went into 23, made the team out of camp, which was cool. And just, it was just an inconsistent year. I think, like, every year you basically learn, like, how do I minimize damage? How do I minimize, you know, not letting a bad inning lead into a bad outing, lead into a bad week, lead into a bad month? It's just, it's more about, hey, if I really learning how to make adjustments, which I'm still not perfect at, but I feel like I've, you know, gained some valuable experience at that level. And 24, made the team out of camp again, was in the bullpen, which was a new role for me, which I enjoyed. And then in 24, this past year got off to a terrific start. Probably threw the ball as the best I have probably in my life, just because of the level I was at in the big leagues. And then kind of hit a roller coaster of 2 months where I was either really good or really bad. Ended up getting DFA'd, which, for the listeners, if they don't know what that means, that's fair. But basically, I was taken off the roster in Detroit. So you go through, like, a whole waiver process, 5 days of just pretty big time uncertainty. Like, am I going to clear? Am I going to go back to the minors with Detroit? Will someone pick me up? Or I'm back in the big leagues with another org, with another opportunity to try to do well. Which, thankfully for me, landed me in Pittsburgh for the last month of the 2024 season, where I threw the ball pretty similar to the start of the year. Like, I ended up going, like, 13 innings, which for me is, out of the bullpen, a pretty solid month of usage. I gave up a run, which, so my numbers improved. Met some new guys, which I enjoyed, and just another team to try to do well. So I'm going back to spring with the Pirates in a couple months, which I'm looking forward to. Frank asked me earlier some favorite places to play in the minors. That's kind of like my professional career in a nutshell, but definitely not Erie. I really enjoy 27.
Ohio isn't the mecca of baseball for you?
Actually, Columbus, Ohio is...
Yeah, Columbus is sick.
...is an awesome place to play. We took a road trip in Erie where we went to Portland, Maine. That was a pretty cool place to play. I really enjoyed my time in Rome in 2017. The GM of that team was an awesome guy, awesome staff. Really enjoyed that. I played in the Fall League in 22 in Scottsdale, which, go figure, that was awesome. But those are probably my favorite places. But yeah, you play in a handful of places that are... I played in the Appy League in 2016. That was short season. That's all old towns through, you know, North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, that I hopefully will not end up back in. Not that the people weren't great, it was just not my favorite place to play. But yeah, I mean, in the minors, like, it's not like you're going to play in the SEC where it's Fayetteville, Athens, Tuscaloosa, Gainesville, where it's nothing but awesome. It's, you end up in some places where you probably never thought you'd be. And for anyone that goes through the minors, there's definitely places where you just don't want to end up back in. So it's no different for me.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Joe, can I ask you about a couple of the guys you played with this year?
Yeah.
Because you got a chance to play with Scooball in Detroit and Skeens in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
They were probably like two of the most dominant pitchers of the year.
For sure.
Is there anything that you saw like in their processes or anything that stood out to you, that the way they handled themselves and went about things?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is just both really solid human beings, really solid guys. Obviously, I've known Scoob for longer. He was actually on that 19 Erie team, which, like, looking back through the minor league rotations I was in, like, everyone from low A got to the big leagues. I think everyone from high A got to the big leagues. Everybody from double A got to the big leagues. So, like, it was the staff in Erie was – that I walked into, it was Scoob, it was Casey Mize, who was the first overall pick, Matt Manning, really fit, he's terrific. But yeah, Scoob this year, just another level of competitor stuff. Obviously, he's left-handed, he was up to 102 this year, so just the raw stuff jumps off the page, but really like his day-to-day, really, really well thought out. I think all of us that have played with him in Detroit, like, he absolutely deserves everything that he's, you know, the awards that he's racked up. I think he was like first team all MLB. That combines both leagues, unanimous AL Cy Young. And definitely a guy that you watch and just does things correctly. Stronger than everybody on the team, weight room wise, just a competitor, took the ball every start. I mean, took the ball 32 times in the regular season, I believe.
I mean, in the playoffs, they were starting 1-0 every series. It was pretty wild.
Yeah, it was just a guy where you look around the league and he is a guy where you look at him and you know what you're getting, which is, and it's not like you're getting, you know, six innings, three runs, which also, by the way, is very good. Like, you'll have a job forever. But with Scoob, like, you're as a bullpen guy, when he had the ball, like, you know, he's six, seven, eight innings, more times than not, one run, zero runs, you know, maybe two. So yeah, just a great dude, and can't say enough good things about Scoobs. And then going to Pittsburgh, we had faced Paul. I think we faced him. He pitched against us while I was with the Tigers, and obviously from college he was as big of a draft prospect pitcher, probably, I think people were saying, probably since Strasburg came out.
Yeah, that's probably right.
And definitely a guy, like, when I got there, some of my buddies in Detroit were like, how is Skeens? What's he like? And another dude, like, kind of that jumps off the pitch, similar to Scoob's, just the physicality that he has, how he moves. Obviously, like, their radar gun is on fire when he's on the mound. Throws like a splitter, a two, kind of a split two seam that's 94, 95 that he can throw into righties, throw away from lefties, slider. Just kind of two guys that they just have it. And you see those guys in the where they, you ask them to do something, they can do it. They dominate the strike zone. They dominate the count. I think our second to last game of the season this year was in Yankee Stadium, and Paul started. He came out and struck Soto out on like a front door two seam at 101 or 102, and then the next guy is Aaron Judge, who MVP. But I mean, both those guys are incredible. But gets Judge on a slider that's a ball to the glove side. And those are two hitters where you look at a guy and you say, if it's that easy to those two, like, you're gonna have a lot of fun in this league. So.
Mm-hmm.
But two awesome dudes, work really hard, do things correctly, take care of themselves. They kind of do things to where when they do take the ball, it's not a surprise to see them have the success that they ultimately have had. And not that anything's a guarantee, but like, they're going to continue to dominate. without a doubt.
I think last year I met you, you know, I kind of asked you some, you know, some things like, you know, it was your first year, I believe, in the big leagues, like first full season with the Tigers.
In 23, I probably got 4.5 of the 6 months in the big leagues. So more than half a season, but not quite a full season.
Yeah. And I remember asking you kind of what were the, you know, because a lot of people are always, you know, ask like, what are the differences between levels? And I think one thing you said was just the physicality of all the starters. And your goal last year was, I need to gain weight, I need to get more physical. You know, can you kind of go into why you thought that was a big step for you? And you know, it's something you're still working on and working on every day. And kind of why that is such a big deal, whether it's like a durability thing or anything like that.
Yeah. For sure. And like for me, it's like I try not to be a finished product, like try to get better every off season. So when I do go back, I can, you know, build on some of the success I've had in the big leagues. And I've had successes up there and I've had, you know, failures up there. So, but yeah, from a physicality standpoint, you just, it's like any sport, you see some players and they take up the ball, they take up the batter's box, they take up the mound. When they step on the mound, it's different. And I guess, you know, I guess that's every level you go to, but when it's the top level and you see certain guys that have certain pedigrees and have had, you know, careers that are, you know, 10 years, 15 years, you look at them and you kind of, they're freaks. Like, baseball gets a reputation, like, oh, you don't have to be the strongest or the biggest or the fastest, but, like, it also never hurts if you are all those things, and the best players in the MLB are, they are those things. And that's like, you know, just because I played with him, Scooble is physically, he's big. He's, you know, when he's walking around the mound throwing 100, not that, you know, no one says they get intimidated, but like, you know, if he stuffs 101 by you, you're walking back to the W saying, I didn't really see that, or I had no chance to hit that. And as a young player, you try not to get stuck looking around just because you got to take the field with them and you don't want to be oohing and aahing when you're on the field. But like even like when you play the Yankees, if you see Gerrit Cole, like big dude, the guy for me, because we played the Twins a lot when he was in there, was Byron Buxton's a massive dude and he flies around the field when he plays center and he's healthy. He's a dynamic player for that team, really good player, really good big leaguer. So yeah, it's like a sport everyone says you don't got to be, and there are examples of that, but even Jose Altuve is a freak athlete. Like, just because he's not tall doesn't mean that he can't clip you, you know, to all parts of the field and he smashes balls. It's like,
but he's an outlier, and that's kind of what you're saying is like the majority of these guys are physical athletic freaks, and then every once in a while you get a guy like in a little bit of a smaller package, and you know, obviously he just does everything at a super super high level still, and it's just more impressive because he's obviously not the most physical guy on the field as well.
Yeah, he's just, but I think I've heard from a strength standpoint, like he's as exactly strong as anybody. He, you know, so yeah, I just think it doesn't hurt to try to be more physical, to try to be stronger, to try to be, you know, I think in pitching, like you take measurements of like vertical speed, you know, how fast can you move down the mound? And those are things for me, like every off season, it's like I can improve upon pretty much all of those boxes. So, and I think for as long as I play, like I'll try to have that same mindset of like, I'm not physically where I think I could be. So kind of when you come home for the off season, it gives you something to kind of be motivated about to you know, be stronger, be more athletic. Ultimately, like, it can really only help me personally on the field. Like, you used to hear guys say like, oh, I think he's like too big. It's like, I don't know if he's too big. Like, he could maybe be more mobile, but I don't think you would sacrifice physicality for the sake of trying to become more mobile, and then maybe you lose something that is ultimately could be hard to get back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think baseball is a cool sport because, like, we have those absolutely physically, just they're different than everybody else. And then you also have guys that, like, you know, you can stay strong and stuff, but like some guys just hit, and there's nothing, like, no rhyme or reason about it. Like, he doesn't take care of his body or anything, but like you put him in the box and he just finds a way to get on base and get hits at it. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
So Joe, you talked, I know Bob asked you a little bit about Scooble and Paul Skeens, which is cool. But for me, like being a little bit older, like, and I'm sure Zach probably wants to know about this, but being around in the same clubhouse as Miguel Cabrera, that guy's one of the best hitters to ever play, as far as I'm concerned. And talk about like Scooble and Skeens too, but like when you're in the clubhouse with them and you're seeing this stuff, is there something where, because obviously once they get on the field, like they're different, you know, but does that kind of being different, does that start off the field? And like, what is like one of those aha moments where you're like, oh shit, like this guy just does things differently. And that's why he's so far ahead above everybody else.
Yeah. Getting to play with Miggy, I, you know, first got to be on his team in 22 for a month or so. And then also in 23, which was ultimately his last year before he retired. But I think for all of us that were on the team, it was just really cool to see the end of a career that is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. You're not going to argue that he's not one of the best hitters of all time. He is triple crown, so many All-Stars, MVP, World Series winner, and just a guy like when you would hear opposing teams' pitchers, even in his last year, it was like, this guy can still hurt you. And as a young player, you, for so many years with Detroit, he was the face of the league. Obviously, if you're the face of the league, you're going to be the face of your organization. And was another guy, just a huge hitter, massive man, just strong, tall, big, took up the box, really good eye. Obviously, really good hands, and you would still see, like, even in his last year, like, if he was taking BP and if he wanted to kind of turn it up a notch, like, he could still hit balls further than anybody. I think probably the coolest thing I saw him do was he hit a homer off of Spencer Strider that was, like, 96 or 97, not on the zone end, and he turned on and barreled it out to left center at Comerica, which home field for the Tigers is, it's a big field. So like to go left center into the bleachers, it's a big shot, and he did. But yeah, just a guy that to be around was really cool. There's, you know, there's the clip of him. Obviously, I wasn't on the team, like I was in high school, but the at bat he had against Mariano Rivera, and I think what was the ALCS. In 20, but long AB against Mariano Rivera, probably the best closer of all time, Yankee Stadium, homer to dead center, just has those moments in his career that probably no one else will ever have for as long as, you know, the game is around.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one other guy I'd like to, you know, ask about, Andrew McCutchen was one of my favorite players, you know, growing up, and do you see similarities between those guys where it's like, it takes a lot of skill to play, you know, past 35 in any league. It doesn't matter if you're in the NFL, NBA, you know, whatever. And do you see, like, similarities between them? Like, how are they able to do that? Like, biology's against them at this point. Like, your reaction time's down, you know. Peak physicality for a male is 28, so, like, they're past that. So, like, how are they able to compete at that level with all those things going against them? Like, obviously it's, you know, experience, being able to see these pitches and stuff like that. But, you know, behind closed doors, what are they doing to prepare themselves to, you know, produce at that level, at that age, in a league this good?
Yeah. So I've, you know, I obviously played with Miggy longer than Kutch, but, you know, the similarities are, for the generations that they were playing baseball, I mean, hugely thought of, both MVPs, countless All-Stars, definitely take up the same kind of aura in the organizations of kind of being like, you know, these are some of the legends that have played the game. But yeah, getting to watch him was super cool. A guy that, you know,
another MVP.
Yeah, takes, you know, takes care of the body, does things. I think it's cool to see like some of the guys that are quote-unquote maybe past their prime or you know, maybe going towards the end of their career, just how you have to take care of your body might be a little different than you did, obviously, when you were younger. It's still a guy this year. I think he hit over 20 homers. He's in the lineup. He's running the bases. He sets a good example for, you know, I was here when we were a really good team. And just guys that really give you confidence to go out there and play, try to do your part. You know, when they come up to bat, it's going to be a real AB. It's going to be competitive. There's a real chance that damage happens, which is obviously good for your team. But yeah, just another guy that, you know, is really cool to be on his same team and watch him play, because as a fan of baseball, these are guys that might never come around again. Like, players are obviously very, very good, but these are kind of once in a lifetime players, and I kind of believe in all sports. Like, there are certain guys that play the game they see the game differently. They without a doubt have made it their level. They've made it their stadiums. They've got, you know, plethora of experience and big moments to where they make the moment small and they go about their business. But I believe that there are kind of one-of-ones. And I think both those guys in different ways in their own right are definitely one-of-ones that, you know, I would advise nobody to try to emulate their career, just because it probably wouldn't happen. You can be your own player, certainly. Like, you can be your own guy and you can be really good, but those guys have both carved out paths that are different.
Yeah. Frank, if you don't have anything else, I think I have one more question before we kind of wrap up the interview process. Are you good with that, or you got anything else you want to add?
No, not at all. I think a big thing that we talked about in our first episode is consistency and process. And so I don't want Joey to get out of here until he talks about kind of the journey that's been, because obviously when you get on the field, it's kind of just a pure let's go out there and compete. But talk about your journey and your process and where it was when you're in high school, because Bob said you said you were really kind of thoughtful with that. And are you doing some of the same stuff that you did when you're in high school, or has it changed completely, or has it changed year to year? And what are kind of the most important things that you try and hone in on with your process, and how do you kind of practice consistency every day that you're throwing a ball?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the mindset is the same as high school. I think I still do some of the same, like, daily stuff to get the body going to do. But I think every year you kind of, you know, whether you're working on mobility, strength, deficiencies, different stuff, I think there are just things that I try to do every day during the season that in my head kind of like checkpoints. Do I feel good during the day? You know, if I don't feel good, some exercises that, you know, make me feel better, or maybe also let you know, like, hey, if you are up tonight, maybe have a lighter day of catch, maybe do everything you can to be ready to go for the game if you do get in. So, but for me, really, after being hurt for 14 months and having a couple other knocks, like, I really put a lot of focus on trying to be healthy, trying to be able to be on the field, we all know anyone that's thrown, there are days you feel horrible, but you are healthy. And you are able. So knowing like what that line is on, I am sore, but I can play. Also, like, a lot of it is talked about stuff you do before, but also like when the game ends, that's where a lot of guys also have a whole nother deal they go through to where they can wake up in the morning and put themselves in a better position to be good. So stuff after the game, like if I didn't throw, I have like a specific set of some arm exercises I do. If I did throw, there's obviously like post throw work, which we all do, which is all different probably for everybody. But for me, it's obviously like I had Tommy John and some forearm stuff, some elbow stuff, but also because I've dealt with like some nagging shoulder stuff at times, like making sure the shoulder's strong and in range, making sure the spine is mobile, making sure, you know, just different areas you have the strength to be able to go out and play, just because it's 160 games, 162 games plus, you know, everyone wants to play in playoffs, so that could add 3 more, it could add 20 more.
Has that routine and process changed pretty drastically with you making the transition from being a starter to being a reliever? Or Do you find that you do a lot of the same things? You just have to kind of be more mindful about the time and which you like start them and get through them.
No, it's different just because as a starter, you know, you have a guaranteed 4 days to where you're kind of getting your body back to go in a game. So as a reliever, it's probably not as many like quote unquote heavy days. It's probably more days. Just maybe you're hitting one part of the body instead of, you know, two or three or four. Thought is still there of, you know, trying to take care of yourself, trying to recover well next game.
Well, that's awesome. You know, my final question is just, I think obviously like in everyone's career, whether, you know, it doesn't really matter what your profession is, but obviously a lot of people are interested, you know, when you're a professional athlete. And so I guess mine is, if you had a, you know, top four, like a Mount Rushmore of people that kind of helped you get to where you're at, and I'm going to give you a pass, like your parents, obviously, your brother, your parents, obviously, yeah. Your wife, obviously. So like non-immediate family members, like who were they? Why do you feel like they've really helped you to where you're at? And, you know, going forward, kind of what are your goals for this upcoming year?
Yeah, I guess I've been fortunate because I have, you know, I feel like I really am, and not like by choice of me, just by choice of, you know, people that I'm around, like really good people. Obviously, we've talked about like the role Bob's had in my career. Like I come back here every off season, throw, do my lifting. My first couple, how many? Five or six I did with John Renzi, who was really good for me on the strength side. I think I've had two pitching coaches in the professional ranks that I would put as really big influences. I had a guy named Dan Meyer, who actually Bob knows, and Loewe, who was awesome for me kind of as a young player and just kind of like from a pitching standpoint of really just a lot of work throwing the changeup, being able to have confidence, throwing different stuff behind in the count. And then I mentioned Doug Bauchler. I had him for 2 years at AAA with the Tigers, who was, I mean, I think the world to him as far as being a pitching coach in the day-to-day and working with his players and giving you confidence, giving you everything you need, just learning, you know, maybe how to do a scouting report with him, how to read a swing, how to communicate effectively with a coach. So I'd put those two guys. And then also, like, it's not, like, I think a couple of my teammates that I've been around have been massive influences on me from a standpoint of when you're hurt, having someone to lean on. When you're in the season with them, just knowing they're solid, they're with you. Catch partner this past year was Alex Faeda, who was in my wedding, one of my really good friends, who I think the world of as a guy, and he's a terrific pitcher, really good. Just Matt Manning, some of the guys I was with the Braves that I was able to be around and play and pitch with them, that they just kind of push you and, you know, yeah. So, you know, those are the people off the top of my head. There's obviously way more, but
yeah, for sure.
That really stick with me.
Perfect.
Thanks again. It's been a fun episode. Thanks to everybody out there listening. Please like and subscribe and stay tuned for the next episodes that are coming out. I know we still have a bunch of good interviews on the schedule. Thank you so much for our guest of honor today, Joey. It's been a pleasure talking to you and hearing about your baseball journey and all the information and kind of things that you've picked up on the way. I hope that the listeners out there kind of been able to take something away that might help them on their journey. Once again, it's been a pleasure, and we'll see you next week.